All right, we are recording. Welcome, welcome to March 2021 and to March 2021 LHON Live. I'm Andy Marks, today joining from Charlotte, North Carolina with my co-host. You there, Jessica? I'll wait until I can hear you just to let you know, but I can't hear you yet. Jessica, I cannot hear you. So I will go ahead and get things started, but feel free to.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yes.
Did you know they moved the star button on their phone?
They moved the star button? Okay. All right. I was about to say that was the meanest thing to do to a blind person. Well, welcome, welcome everyone. I'm sorry for our slow start, but I'm Andy Marks. That there is Jessica Loomer. We are your LHON Live co-hosts. For those who are new folks, there are a few new folks here tonight, so thanks for being here. We have been doing these calls every month since August 2014. Jessica and I met each other back in June of that year at what was our first LHON Live conference for both of us. We had lost our vision both in the year prior and realized quickly how unique our experiences were, but at the same time, how shared our experiences were with everyone else who has LHON. So while we were there in Pittsburgh that year, we realized the huge benefit it was to meet other people going through the same experience we were going through and had gone through. And we really were hoping there was a way to really spread that benefit throughout the year instead of just getting it once a year when we get the chance to be in person with each other. And this year we didn't even get to do that. So in August, a couple months later, we began hosting these LHON Live calls in the, wow, almost 7 years since. This call has taken a number of different formats. These days we come together every month with a bunch of folks. We talk about the topics from the Facebook group that have been coming up. We give you updates and a few important dates to keep in mind for the following month. And then we open it up to everyone else to talk about one of the topics we talked about, something new, something on your mind, any question that occurs to you. The only thing I would preface all of that with is the fact that Jessica and I, and frankly, no one on this call is a medical, employment, or legal expert. So if you ask questions like that, we may direct you toward others instead of allowing others here too much ability to give you advice, because frankly, no one here is qualified to do that. But we're happy to point you in the right direction. So feel free to ask any question you'd like. With that, Jessica, happy March and how are you?
Andy, I'm doing great. Yeah, March is kind of a big month, especially with COVID was just almost a year ago. So Feeling optimistic and feeling pretty great. It's 61 degrees here in Denver, so we can't beat it. But how are you?
I'm doing well. Things are warming up. Vaccines are being spread across the country. We landed a rover on Mars in the month that was named after Mars. So, I mean, these are all really cool things. I'm doing pretty well. I'm still in Charlotte right now, but I will be heading back to my apartment in Jersey next week. So I will likely be there for next month's call.
Awesome. That is a great sign. That's great news.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and hop into a few topics. So as always, I mentioned, but if there are ever any topics you want Jessica and I to talk about, you can, frankly, if you ever write in the Facebook group something like, hey, Andy, Jessica, please talk about this month, we will be sure to do that. You can do that either in the post that we tag ourselves in with the big blue LHON Live logo prior to this call, or you can just put it somewhere in the group and we usually will find that. But with this month, we have a few topics I want to talk about. One is kind of something that had a few different mentions this month, and it's all around relationships. I saw a few folks, or at least someone, ask how relationships work with people who have LHON. Typically, that would mean a blind person with LHON dating, marrying, being with someone who has vision? And how does that dynamic work? And then someone else asked separately for some COVID-friendly couples events or activities, date ideas, if you will. I think that was around Valentine's Day. So we're a little late to give you that advice. But you know what? You can go on a date in March too. You should. Jessica, do you have any thoughts on how relationship dynamics and or those things can work out, or good date ideas?
Gosh, I think I should be the listener on this topic versus the talker about it. But I will tell you, I was actually on a happy hour with some running friends recently. And one, they told me they were going to revise my entire dating profile, that I should like let them have all my credentials so they can redo it. Step one. So also why I'm not qualified for this topic. But two, we were kind of talking about like when is the best time to kind of disclose? I mean, I feel like it was like a job interview kind of question. Do you like talk about it on the dating app, or do you talk about it like one or two dates in, or you just like show up, fake it till you make it, or no cane, cane, you know, like all of those kind of topics. Yeah. And I think I kind of have a similar stance for a job interview as I do with a first blind date off of an internet app. So, you know, love me, leave me. This is it. This is who I am, and going for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of being yourself, one, because it requires confidence and we should all have that. But more importantly, I mean, even if you're not comfortable with who you are yet, there is a benefit to sharing that, because you never know what you are missing and or someone is not telling you, or they're trying to tell you with their face or expressions without saying it with their words. And if they don't know you're blind, I hate to not be getting that input. And if they know you're blind, then if they're a decent person, they'd give you that input some other way. So I think it's just beneficial for them to know for you, like selfishly. I think it's good for anyone you're going on a date with to know. Obviously,
yeah,
there's a chance
it's a really
of being
good
taken
way to filter.
There's a chance of being taken advantage of, for sure. But I like to think that I like to give people that I'm going to go on a date with more chance or more credit than that. And obviously having your guard up is a good thing in early dates. Any good ideas of things to do with someone during quarantine, whether it's a date or just a friend, that you feel comfortable doing these days?
So two things. One, for everyone listening, I actually called Andy and I was like, Andy, all right, I'm going to start dating. What do I do? So that's kind of how that whole conversation prefaced, and this was months ago. And Annie kind of gave me a couple dating app ideas, which I took upon. And
I don't remember
and
these at all. This is worrying. Okay, what did I say?
Awesome. You told me Hinge. You don't remember? No?
Sure. I mean, Hinge
I
is a great app from what
I had not. Well, yeah, it's been fantastic. But so the biggest thing that I've done, and a ton of my friends are doing this, visually impaired, not visually impaired, is like there's so much to do outside that sometimes, I mean, especially like a bonus for LH1, if you choose not to drink, oftentimes everyone's like, let's just meet for a drink. Well, now, like with bars closed and restaurants and different things, there's so much to do outside. So I've actually met more guys on dates outside and doing either like maybe it was a walk and it was kind of in like an area that I knew and it was super easy. Or maybe like one offered to make me a picnic, which was very sweet. Or yeah, we've gone to like outside bars or different things like that. But that's been awesome. Everything's been outdoor related. Living in Colorado, we all love the outdoors, but it's just kind of embraced some of the facts of kind of doing all of that. And so I think it's been kind of a cool bonus. It's a good silver lining that like we've had to kind of rethink and be creative, but also be considerate of those kind of around you and like their concerns of COVID and what that could be. And yeah, it's super easy. It's low cost and you get to kind of still enjoy.
What are your thoughts about people wearing masks? I haven't been on dates, but I almost like the idea of the fact that since I can't see your face, you shouldn't be able to see my face. So like wearing a mask almost like makes the playing field a little level, or no? Is that something that's crossed your mind, or no, not at all?
I mean, it's really hard to hear. So like, I don't know, get like wind going outside and then like dogs barking and then he's in a mask and I'm like, wait, what? What did you say? What was that? Wait, I'm sorry, what did you say? And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Shouldn't yell at each other on your first date, sure.
Yeah, save that for like a while. But
a couple years into marriage. No.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's actually been really fun. It's been a good kind of a twist. And people really have to think outside the box. So highly recommend. But yeah, when do you kind of disclose, when do you not disclose? One of my friends that actually is visually impaired, he on his app says that he brags how good of a listener he is. And doesn't
does
obviously
he have
disclose
like his
that
blindness in his got it.
No, he just like brags about it. And so, and it's like often the girls will like say this to him and he just thinks it's hilarious. And then like gives him like, I don't know, a day or two. I have to talk. My rule is I have to talk to him on the phone to like weed him out, because I want to know if he, I want him to know me for me. And then, yeah, then we'll meet in person. I'll be like, hey, by the way, I'm visual disability. I'm trying to think what I say all the time. But, and they're like, okay, so I think the last quote I got was, how disabled are you? Quote unquote. and I was like, well, I have a full-time job. I just cooked this amazing dinner. Let me tell you about it. I have a dog and I clean my own house. And do you call any of that with a disability? So no, doing good. I'm like, what you'll need to tell me is if the chicken is overcooked, and you'll probably have to read me the menu. And so he was like, okay. And then we totally got to the restaurant and outside, and my toes froze, by the way. And he read me the menu. So it was no big deal.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
Tell me your tips and tricks. I mean, you've been dating Megan for what? 6 years?
I was losing my vision when Megan and I met. So I drove for our first two dates, and she started driving on our third, and has been driving since. But Megan asked me, I was like this learning that I would forever be blind as we were having those first dates. And I was like, obviously had been dating other people and these kinds of things. On our first date, I was wearing very strange glasses that I had been prescribed from an optometrist who had no idea what LHON was. Like, even when I came back and told her I had LHON, she had no idea what that was. And she had prescribed me these glasses because it was really only affecting one of my eyes at the time. So my left eye in these glasses looked massive and my right eye looked normal. And so Megan, actually my now girlfriend, asked me, are you blind or something? And said, you look really funny, and said things, all these kinds of things that she would extremely regret having said at this point in time, because I didn't know how to answer any of those questions because I had no idea what was happening. And yeah, then I probably drove our second date when I probably shouldn't have, and then stopped after that. And stopped wearing those glasses, but I still have them. I don't know why I have things like that. But yeah, I, at this point in time, I would kind of compare it to the way I do a lot of my work, relationships, which is I like to establish myself. I mean, in a work setting, I like to, in some way, I like to do some part of a project or begin a project or at least meet with these people in some sense before letting them know I'm blind. In that case, it isn't the first thing they know about me and doesn't color all of the work I ever do for them. But I do like to let them know pretty early. And I, if possible, I like to know, let people know in person or at least in a setting like a virtual meeting these days, where they have the ability right then and there to ask me questions, not in an email or like some kind of instant message, anything like that, where it's like me sharing something and they now don't know the tone with which I shared it with them. Same thing would be true with dating. I'd rather tell someone in person where I can then like be like, hey, but also like all questions are fair here. You're able to ask me anything you want. Like I'm sharing this with you. I want you to know that like if you're confused by it or have questions, like they're all fair right now. And this isn't the only time they're fair. They're also able to be asked a week from now, 2 weeks from now, whenever they occur to you. So that's how I think about it with work. And I'd probably think about it the same way with dating.
Hey, I'd like to jump in there about work related instead of dating related. But so actually it happened today. It's someone that I've worked with for probably 4 years now. And since we've been virtual for the past year, and then she has been remote for a while. We haven't had a lot of direct interaction, but, she sent me, I didn't bother to tell her that I was visually impaired. And she sent me a screenshot of a project plan saying, oh yeah, here's, check this out for where your deliverables are.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a little bit uncomfortable. So I should have made that clearer to her earlier on, because I could have used my OCR to figure out, I could have probably figured it out from her screenshot, but it would have been a real pain in the neck. But instead I finally explained to her like, hey, I really can't tell from your image, from your JPEG, your PNG image that you sent me, what's going on from your project.
No, I mean, I like everything you said there. I would amend only part of it to say, like, where you say you should have disclosed earlier. I mean, sure, maybe she wouldn't have done that if you had said that earlier, but I think at that point in time, it's a fair time to say, and I understand there will probably be some uncomfortability or awkwardness on her part to not know that, but she shouldn't have known that either. And so I think that's a good example, though. So thanks for sharing. Jessica, we'll move along to a couple other topics here, because I know we spent a long time on that one. But one thing that someone asked about this month was specifically focused on how a blind person, I think it was the husband of someone posting in the Facebook group this month, could sign a document. What are the best ways to do that? And I'll like kind of broaden it here to mean like, what are the best ways for you to sign documents and for people to assist you or set you up for success when it comes to signing something? We got taxes around the corner and all those kinds of things. How do you do that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I was actually just recently at Chase Bank. And so I live in, for those that don't know, I live in Colorado, but I don't have any family nearby. And I have friends nearby, but it's tough, like when you're going to go do something like financially that's like, you don't, all your friends don't even know your business. So I went to the bank and I mean, I walked in with a cane. My bank's probably a mile away from me, so kind of need that for assistance. But as I'm walking through it, they're asking me to kind of sign documents and kind of go through all of that. And so I was just like, is there any way, and we're at the teller spot at this point. I was like, is there any way you could sit down and kind of like walk through this, all this with me? And she was like, oh, no problem. She walked around, saw my cane, and she was like, oh, hold on one second. She went and went back and came back. We sat down and she had, and I guess this is, I don't know, it would be amazing if all banks had it, but she had like a card signer. So she had like a signed guy, like a
signed guy. Yeah.
Like guide.
Yeah. Basically it's like a credit card with a hole in it where you would sign. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So she had that. So yeah. And so it was so cool because as she kind of like went through everything with me of what I was signing, she then was able to kind of have the guides and she had them already placed for me. So I was just able to kind of like go for it. So that was huge. Like that was like probably one of the coolest experiences I had that they had those kind of in already on hand. I mean, I don't do a ton of signing when it comes to like leases and things like that. I obviously like DocuSign, which is actually really pretty accessible. If they scan it correctly. But beyond that, like, yeah, so cool experience, but what about you? You just bought a house. How'd you do it?
But buying a house or an apartment in my case means lots of signing, as everyone knows. And I did it similar to how you do it. That said, I had my girlfriend with me and she kind of held things for me to sign at different places. So I was able to do that as fast as a normal person would. That said, I can't say I read every word on every document or nearly any word on any document, but I had seen those types of documents before. Typically, in lots of cases, you can get people to send electronic copies of documents to you beforehand, even if you're coming in person to sign something. But I love what happened at Chase Bank. I'm glad you called that out because I have been to multiple banks for similar things. I've never had anyone know. Well, one, I don't think these banks typically have your signature guides. And if they do, I don't think the employees necessarily know that they should be going to get them without even being asked in those cases. So I'm glad that happened for you.
Actually, I'll jump in and I'm in Philadelphia and that's happened a couple times where people had signing cards already ready for me when I had to sign physical documents. Now DocuSign, of course, as you mentioned, is very accessible. So DocuSign and then of course the touchpads are accessible as well. Like I go and donate blood at American Red Cross all the time and that's accessible. But yeah, a lot of banks now, when you have to sign physical documents, that they already have the credit card size, document signers ready, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for sharing.
I have one of those cards I keep in my wallet. Like, a couple nights ago, I just happened to have my purse handy when my husband handed me something that he needed me to sign. And so I handed it to him and he put the little square over the right area. And I'm like, I should do this all the time. I carry it all the time. I just don't pull it out all the time.
Yeah. Not nice, handy thing to have with you. No, I think that's exactly right. And typically for those who don't know, cards like that, I think I have one somewhere in my stuff, but you can get those from places like your low vision centers or your lighthouses or Division for Blind Services. Sometimes we'll have those cards and typically they'll give those to you, but you can also
my
find
son's
them
VI teacher as well. Gave it to me. Like she had an extra one randomly when at yeah. one of our meetings.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. So thank you.
Andy, it's Lissa. Of course, I put the link in our conversation online and Maxi AIDS has them for 25 cents, which is why people yeah. give them to you.
Yeah, exactly. Maxi AIDS may also charge shipping for that. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Didn't look that carefully.
No, that's fine. You can also order with your cane tips. Yeah.
You can also easily make that off of a business card and just kind of laminate it. My husband actually did that with when we were signing our mortgage. He fixated a business card and then laminated it in like the blue masking tape. So I was in full tears because I couldn't find mine. And then he pulled this out and was like, look what I made you.
That's awesome.
Oh, that is so sweet.
That's super sweet. Well, that's awesome. We'll move to what will be our last topic before we kind of give you some monthly updates. I know this was mentioned on last month's call, so I wanted to go ahead and mention it, is the new LiDAR technology in the latest iPhone. So this would be your iPhone 12 Pro and iPhone 12 Pro Max. Jessica, do you have the newest iPhone?
I just got it because I actually just switched to Spectrum Mobile, but I don't know anything about it, so teach me.
I will teach you based on the articles I've read. I'll be honest, I haven't used this feature yet, but I meant to earlier today and did not. But so the LiDAR technology, to the best of my knowledge, that's spelled LIDAR, and it is technology that basically can use the camera on your phone, or rather the cameras on your phone, because if you have one of these phones, there's multiple lenses there. It can accurately determine how far you are from an object, or the way lots of people are using it these days, from a person. In other words, if you are at the supermarket, you're at your local Publix or Kroger or whatever, Wegmans, I don't know, I want to include all these different regions here. If you are in line to check out, you can use your camera to determine whether you are 6 feet from the person in front of you and whether the person behind you is 6 feet from you. And if they are or are not, you can either move or ask them to be further away, and you can kind of use your camera to determine that. Which is pretty cool. It can also be used for other things to just determine distance, and a few other features, but feel free to check it out, and how to use it there. It is only available, as I mentioned, in your newest version of the iPhone as well. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's,
how do you
that's
activate
really
it?
All I know. How do you activate it? I believe within settings, and I can believe it could be added to your, what I want to call this. I think it's called maybe a control panel. So for my phone, if you kind of scroll down from the top right, or if you have VoiceOver on and you scroll down from the top, I believe it's the second vibration. You get the screen that has your brightness and your volume and your camera and your calculator. And for me, your magnifier, I believe that can be added there as well. So it's easily accessible or easier to find.
That's really cool. I can't wait till it can count the number of people in an elevator.
Yes, so exactly.
So I don't continue to scare people away.
Yeah. With that, Jessica,
that's
I
you
will
make friends going.
Say that again.
No, so I was just saying that's when you want to know how many people, you go, all right, start counting. That's how you make friends really quick. Like start numbering yourself.
Exactly.
People.
Exactly. Yeah.
We'll call out a couple of things here before we open it up and turn the recording off and take any other comments on anything we're talking about. So first, I just wanted to call out two research topics this month, not medical research, but this is research that organizations are doing that you all as blind or visually impaired people can participate in. So one is at the University of Michigan. It was posted just earlier today, I believe. They're really trying to improve some different assistive technology, specifically visual aids like Be My Eyes or Aira. So for any individual who uses those types of services, you can participate in that research. I believe there's some degree of incentive it's, I'll be honest, it's not that much. It's like $35 or $60, which is less than you'll see if you saw similar research from corporations, but that's pretty standard for universities. Also, National Geographic Learning Accessibility Organization is doing a similar study to help make their products more accessible. So you can look up either of those and participate if you're interested. Now I'm going to give you a quick rundown of several dates to keep in mind for the upcoming month. This is more than we typically have. And after that, I'll give it over to Jessica to give even more dates. But I'll start with the Migraine World Summit. We know a lot of people who have LHON suffer from migraines. And there's a summit virtually this year on the 17th of March, which is also St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patty's Day. Where you can participate and learn about what people are studying in the world of migraines and what we learn and different remedies and those types of things, if you're interested. There is also CSUN, which is a large assistive technology conference held typically on the West Coast every year, but this year it's virtual. And that begins on the 8th of March, which is next week, and runs through the 12th. The last thing, well, there's a few other things here, and Jessica, I don't know if you want to call all these out, but the ACB seminar tomorrow night, that's, the ACB is having a big anniversary. Is it 100 years, Jessica?
Yeah, 50? 100 years.
100 years of the ACB, so that's the American Council for the Blind. They're having a big summit tomorrow night with lots of really fancy schmancy speakers, so you can tune into that as well. I'll hand it over to you, Jessica.
It's free.
It's free. About all of the events, including, I know there's a young adult affected next week on the 9th at 8 p.m., but I know there's several others as well, Jessica. So if you want to give a quick plug to all of those.
Yeah, for sure. And so two quick things. For those of you that are not on the email list that Lissa sends out, please circle back with us so we can get you on this email list. Lissa sends out an email once a month, often, but this one once a month is super important because it kind of highlights all the calls that are coming up for the next couple weeks. This not only encompasses LH1 Live, but all the different affinity groups, but regional groups as well. And lots are popping up. And so I'm going to kind of give you a quick rundown as I read these. So bear with me as I read to you slowly. But so the first one coming up is LHON Affected Young Adults. So that's Tuesday, March 9th. And that's 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. And please keep in mind, like, all the events that we're sharing within the LHON community, they're really specifically only for that population. So affected young teens and things like that. So don't come crashing any parties because we want to make sure it stays a wonderful and safe environment for everyone that wants to attend. And especially California, because I know a lot of people probably want to move to California because the weather sounds pretty nice right now. But the next call coming up is the California call, which is actually going to be Tuesday, March 16th. And that call is actually at 6 p.m. Pacific. So a little bit of a time change, but that's California. Next one coming up is the Dad's Call. And that one is on Wednesday, March 17th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, bear with me as I read. Navigating Employment, which is just super exciting. This is actually the first of the year for this call as well. So that one's Navigating Employment, and that is on Tuesday, March 23rd, and that is 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. So mark your calendars for that one. And that is actually, that's all the calls for the lineup. So it's actually the exact same phone number. So everything that you use to call in to get in here. We do encourage you, I'm actually not on video at the moment, but do encourage if you want to jump in, especially on these smaller group calls, to jump on video, get to say hi, zoom in on your friends, things like that. That's always kind of nice to kind of put faces and voices and names, or, you know, zoom in on somebody's face and say, hey, all is fair over here. But yeah, definitely excited for all the calls that are coming up in March. So please join us. And if you are not part of any of the communication for the specific groups that I maybe shared, please reach out so we can get you added.
Hey, Jessica.
Definitely.
Yes, Megan.
Just the sisterhood as well at the end of the month. I'm not sure the exact date, but.
Yeah, but it can step up
Ooh, I don't know that one, or I don't have it. Lisa, do you have the date?
Yep, it's March 24th, and that one you do have to register for. All the other ones, it's the same, the normal entry, no registration required. But the sisterhood is only for women who have an LH1 mutation, carriers, or affected, and that's March 24th. But you have to register. You have to join the sister Facebook sisterhood group, and then register from there.
Awesome. Thank you for bringing that up.
Of course.
And with that, that's all we have. But I will tell you all, because I like to plug next month's call. These calls are always the first Wednesday of every month at the exact same time. So that means next month, it will be the 7th of April at 8 p.m. Same exact call and information, 8 p.m. Eastern, I should say, 5 p.m. Pacific here in the U.S. So the calls are always the same time. With that, I just want to open it up to questions, comments that can be on anything we talked about, whether it's relationships or signing documents or the new Apple LiDAR technology, or any of the dates, frankly. So happy March and happy to take your questions.
Andy, I think everyone's still muted, I think.
Yep, and unfortunately, I don't have the ability to unmute folks anymore. They removed that from Zoom, but I can request to unmute. That's the best I can do.
Okay.
They don't allow me to force unmute folks anymore, which I understand.
Okay, because I didn't see that in the change log when I looked at it this morning. So,
yeah. Hello, this is John Benson in Washington State.
Hey, John.
It's the first time I've Zoomed in. I can see Miss Lissa sitting there. I'm, you know, like anything else, this is relatively new for me. I'm still in the adjustment period. I guess a semi-medical question. Forgive my ignorance. I have a 2-year-old or a brother who's 2 years older. If I have it and got it from my mother, does it automatically mean that he has it?
It means that your brother, if you have a biological, full biological brother, you both have the same mom, he does have the gene. That doesn't mean he will ever be affected by it, but
okay.
The research says that he does have, he is at the very least a carrier. Yes.
Okay. I don't think I'll tell him that. What's the point of knowing, right? I mean,
there are different opinions out there, some around there being some factors that some would steer clear of if they knew, but others feel that it's better to be able to live your life. So that's a decision that you can make. And I mean, I think if your brother is aware of your condition and you can talk to him about it, that's a personal decision, I guess.
Well, he was going to take a genetic blood test for it, and then I opted out at the last minute and said, what the heck, you know, I'll just shoot the dice. He's 2 years older than me. He's 58. It happened to me when I was 55. And while I have the 117, or the, I guess the most common of the, the types, from the conversations I've had, I think my vision is better than most of the people I've talked to that suffer from labor. So I feel blessed that I can see as well as I can see.
Well, that's awesome. We're happy for you.
I really appreciate these monthly phone calls. I'm new to the group, but every bit of support helps. Knowledge is power, and understanding, and I get a lot of that from you guys, so I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. Remind me of your name again, I'm sorry.
I'm John Benson. I'm in Eastern Washington State.
Wonderful. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Any other
comments
or questions?
May I chime in?
This
is Karina.
Yeah. Hi, thank you.
I'm so sorry I didn't catch your name, the person that was just speaking before him.
I think that was John Benson, wasn't it?
Yes. I guess to answer his question and kind of chime in on it, my boyfriend and I were just, my fiance and I were just discussing this today. maybe if there was an interest in having an identical twin to where you had it so aggressively, but your identical twin did not. And we just randomly saw that on one of the posts on the Lahome groups. And that's something that's just been so interesting to him and me as well, that my sister has no symptoms whatsoever. And my identical twin sister, but I have almost completely lost my vision, as well as plus symptoms and my health in general, with the plus symptoms as well, is just, it's a bit rocky, but you know, I'm trying to look at the positive side, and, I'm so sorry, John, for what you're going through. I'm sure everyone here can empathize with you. And, you know, I feel like all of us hate it for one another. You know, I feel like we're optimistic ourselves and when it comes to providing the advice for one another. But then, you know, we get down in our ruts sometimes, and it's really hard to think about that and, you know, think, especially with an identical twin, and you're like, why me? You know, why did my brother, why did my twin sister not get this, you know, and they don't have onset symptoms, and I'm, you know, the only one in the family blind. And I understand that's it has to be difficult from your perspective, and I'm really sorry that you have to go through this. I'm hoping something comes one day where we can try to figure out, you know, why this occurs with certain siblings and not with certain siblings. But I mostly just wanted to say, John, I'm like really sorry that you're having to go through this. This is a great group, and I found so much support in it. And I don't know where I would be at this moment in time if it wasn't for the people I've been introduced with this group, and you know, Lisa and everyone, and I mean all of you guys. So I just want to thank you all as well, but most of all, yeah, we're all here for you.
Well, you know, I really appreciate that. I live alone. I always have, not necessarily by choice, but that's the way my life worked out. And I've had to sell 5 motorcycles, 5 cars and trucks, an airplane and a helicopter because I literally can't do anything I used to be able to do. And, you know, the one thing I had in my life was my independence. I mean, really, the one criticality of my life was the independence that I had. And of course that, you know, that gets taken away, and that's the biggest adjustment that every day I struggle because I'm alone and there are things I can't do. And so far I've made it through, but I mean, I literally can't do a single thing that I used to have hobbies and interests and things that, and I'm retired. So working's not an issue, but you know, I have all this time on my hands that I used to be occupied with 24 interests and hobbies. And I can't do any of them anymore. And, you know, it's very exasperating and frustrating. And, you know, in the beginning it was depressing, but I think I'm over that part for whatever reason. I'm not in a depressed state that I used to be in, which I'm thankful for. The Veterans Administration has been a big help to me because I'm a disabled vet. And so they've kind of come to my aid and helped me with a lot of, reading devices and the things in my home to make things easier in my home. And I used to talk to a psychologist an hour a day once a week for the last 5 months. And you know, you don't know what you don't know, right? And I didn't know that some of the things I was doing led to a depressed state or a state of depression. And I learned a lot, and I had an open mind and an open heart, and I was willing, I guess a lot of men aren't, but I was willing to talk to a psychologist. And, you know, I thank God that I did, because I'm not depressed anymore. I've accepted, you know, my new life, so to speak, if you want to call it that. And thankful for the help that I've received from a lot of different areas.
That's wonderful, and I'm so glad you had that support. And I know that everyone else is listening as well. That's wonderful that you're looking at it in an optimistic way, because I know that, you know, we all struggle with that still. The people that are affected 15 years and people that are affected, you know, 1 year. It's something I strive towards, to look at this in an optimistic way, you know, as much as possible. And I can say that very inspiring to not only me, but probably a lot of people in this group.
Sorry. This is Nicole. I was just curious, especially to Lissa, is there any type of group, or maybe we could do a special call one time for siblings that are carriers? I have, my sister is a carrier, and she's having, I think, more of a worse time watching what I'm going through.
I mean, the simple answer to that is we can do anything. As you heard, Jessica and Andy announcing, you know, Zoom after Zoom after Zoom after Zoom. It's like, because we can, why not? If we can't get together on a conference, well, let's just create little conversations. So all you have to do is say, you know, contact me offline. We'll talk about it, and we'll set one up. We'll pick a day. We'll invite people, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so, and if anybody else
anything, any topic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other family members are kind of, you know, what, oh, I thought I, you know, I wasn't a boy, or I wasn't this age, or, you know, there's so many people, the certain stereotypes, where my sister's having a very hard time, and she's younger than me, like thinking, oh, when I turn that age, is it going to be me? So I was like, maybe that would be something new to talk about, or
hey,
to get them included.
It would be great to go through, like, the carrier's checklist, kind of, in with everybody there.
Yeah,
I'm happy to be
guys.
Involved there, Megan.
Okay.
Can you hear a little background noise, by the way, from someone? If you happen to think that that may be you and can mute, I think that'd be helpful. But otherwise, it's not so bad that we can't move forward. But I just wanted to call that out.
John Benson here. One last thing, if I may. Any advice? Is there anything I can tell my brother that he should or could avoid doing to help stave off activating that gene?
In short, yes. the big and first and biggest one is going to be smoke of all types. So that includes cigarette smoke, both as a smoker yourself and being around others smoking, but it also would include things like a bonfire or any other type of smoke that you could be around. That's the biggest one. You'll also see doctors talk about binge drinking, and really that's a habit that shouldn't be a habit anyway, but most doctors would say that some degree of alcohol consumption is probably in moderation not going to be harmful in the way that smoke is. So those are the biggest things.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on anything we chatted about tonight? I'm still hearing that noise, so I may try and mute that person if you don't mind, but
Jessica and Andy, it's Chris Herbst.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris. Hey, yeah. Can someone further explain the migraine LHO thing on the 17th?
I cannot, and I'm sorry. I noticed it and wanted to call it out because we know. Go ahead, Lisa.
Molly Knox, Molly Garone, happened to see it. She sent it my way because she knows I care about it personally, and because she knows that about half of the people in this group who are carriers or affected do deal with migraines. She and I had talked about, I've been thinking, should we do a session at conference on migraine? And she sent me that link, and I went, oh my goodness, why would we do one session on migraine when there's a free conference with 20 sessions looking at it from 20 different angles. So I just put it on out there so that anyone who is interested can register for free and attend any sessions that they want to. And my hope is that I don't have time to listen to all the sessions, but hopefully various people do and various people post what they heard, what they thought was helpful. So that's what that's all about.
On the topic of, go ahead.
Who is doing this, Lisa?
I don't know. It's just called the World Migraine Conference with 20 different people talking about migraine. And I know Molly works for the Harvard T.C. Chan School of Medicine. So I figured if she saw a migraine summit, it must be well researched. So I didn't really look too deep into it beyond that. So I don't know. But if you, I'm sure that's all. Literally, that's all I know. I'm passing along something that looked interesting. And that's really all I know.
Oh, all right.
It's not related to LHON, just to let you know. Chris. LHON
see.
Or
okay.
UMDF specific. The only other correction I'd make, I just saw your note, Lisa. I said earlier that there's an ACB conference tomorrow. That's actually AFB, so the American Federation of the Blind, I think is what it's called. That's the summit tomorrow. So if you were looking it up, change a letter.
There's also, if anyone knows anything about interested in autism, Dr. Doug Wallace, our rock star, is doing a webinar or whatever on Friday at noon on autism and its
okay.
relationship with mitochondria or something.
Okay, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
In regard to the migraine piece, I've been trying to research blue light glasses kind of intensely, and I was all of a sudden bombarded with advertisements for...
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So I may be that person that purchases them, but I will give feedback as soon as I get them.
Please do.
Well, this is Chris again. I am a fan of Axon Optics, the laboratory in Utah for migraines. You may all want to Google that. It's AXON Optics. I am convinced they help me with they have reduced the number of migraines I get. And they help with glare. That's a huge other thing for photophobia.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Chris.
If I can ask a question. To everyone in the group, those who get migraines and whatnot, I guess does everyone see rainbows when they put on a pair of glasses when they go outdoors or whatnot? I've heard that it's very common, but the more my vision deteriorates, the more the rainbows increase. So you don't really have an option of like putting on glasses because all you see is just a bright rainbow. And if you take them off and you see a bright light and it causes a migraine, I know Lisa that you provided that site for me, to buy those migraine glasses, and that has been incredibly helpful. I actually plan on purchasing a pair. And for the person that just recommended those, thank you. But I was just actually curious if anyone else had that happened to them when walking outdoors in bright sun or like on a clear sunny day.
I have not, but
no, me neither.
Well, that's a yeah, I was just wondering. I put on any pair of sunglasses that I put on, I usually see a really bright rainbow or some kind of a different color in the sky. That's not the color of the sky. So either that it's bad or bright light. Can't see regardless if I take the sunglasses off, that it's just like light sensitivity. So I was just actually wondering if anyone else kind of had that symptom or not.
Hi, this is Bob in California. I don't have that particular situation, but I had noticed when my condition worsened that polarized sunglasses were much, much better than just sunglasses off the shelf or designer sunglasses. That helped quite a bit. So you may want to try those out in the store or something.
Yeah, see if that, since it seems like you had the same symptom, regardless of where you are, maybe it's worth trying that on in the store without making a purchase even.
This is Chris. My neuro-ophthalmologist is the one who suggested my photophobia is so bad. My neuro-ophthalmologist is the one who is suggested this Axon Optics, or I never would have known about it, for the photophobia. My glare issue is so bad. Here in Pennsylvania, we still have snow on the ground, and that's when it's the worst, the glare. But he's the one who suggested it, and I looked into it, and you have a 30-day return policy. So as far as I'm concerned, you have nothing to lose if you want to try these things. They make sunglasses, and they make regular glasses. And, you know, you can go to the website and check it out if you like. And
Would you mind spelling it for me?
Pardon me?
Would you mind spelling it for me?
AxonOptics.com.
Gotcha. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. What they do is they filter out the wavelength of light that affects people with migraine and photophobia, takes out that wavelength of light. So it's more beneficial than polarized lenses or any type of sunglasses you can buy.
Gotcha. Thank you so much for the advice.
My low vision doctor, the low vision doctor that my son and I saw, did not recommend polarized glasses because he went through this, like, different glasses to try. And the Axon ones, he did like, and we compared them because polarized glasses are apparently designed for water or snow, just for the reflection off like things below you. So they don't work as good for seeing, I guess, other things. And he explained the way they're designed, but the Axon Optics ones, I actually felt like I could see better just in general without, you know, it affecting my, you know, migraine or not. I felt like it added just a little bit more clarity to everything.
Yeah, I think that's one, like, just overall rule of thumb we can all take away, which is that everyone, regardless of whether you have the exact same LHON mutation or not, has different preferences and different abilities and, frankly, different glasses that'll work best for them. So where you have the opportunity to try something out before making a purchase, I'd recommend doing so, even if you've heard from everyone here in this group that it doesn't work for us.
Well, one other thing I would say is that the neuro-ophthalmologist also said to me, you should not wear sunglasses inside. That desensitizes your eye. When you have LHON, it desensitizes your eyes to light, and your eyes become desensitized to light adjustment. So if your eyes are so sensitive to light issues and glare, you're not helping your eyes by wearing sunglasses inside.
Gotcha.
Yeah, light is my friend. So a random question. So my company really actually noticed or recognized that I was the token blind girl in the corporate spectrum. And they're trying to get me to kind of be that person and the leadership on the disability side. Is there anywhere that I can look for standardization? And you don't have to answer this now. If you want to do a side conversation with me, it would be great. But I'm kind of just looking for guidance there.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk to you about this offline, Megan. But are you looking for general rules of thumb and things that you should be sharing with your company about disability in general outside of blindness even? Is that what the question is?
Basically, yes.
So disability in is a great resource there. I don't know if you at your company have access to that resource, but that's something that your company can subscribe to and then you get access to. There are tons of great etiquette documents there and rules of thumb that should be maintained, including one specific to employers. Things like what to keep in mind when interviewing someone who has a disability, the whole hiring process, being a manager for someone with a disability. There's a whole bunch of documents there that I've shared with where I work as well. So happy to continue the conversation offline, but Disability In is a great resource for some of that information.
Thanks, Andy. And then like onwards from that, so websites and apps, accessibility standards.
So there's, and Jessica, you can probably speak better to this, but so there are what's called, some people call it WCAG compliance, WCAG. That's the compliance standards that websites are being pushed toward, websites and apps, I believe. There's like WCAG A and WCAG AA, and there's different standards. None of those are actual mandates here in the U.S. at this point, but different parts of the world, including, I believe, Quebec, the province in Canada, recently required a higher standard of compliance from a website perspective. California has had legislation on it, but it hasn't ever been passed. I encourage you to kind of look up some of that. Different companies have different points of view on it. And that's all I'll say here.
Thanks, Andy.
Now, another really good resource to kind of break down, like, I would say guidelines and regulations that they have for accessibility is W3. That kind of breaks it down, like, and speaks to, like, developers, but also kind of speaks the business case of why, like, different features should be accessible and how to make them accessible and kind of steps to kind of remediate that.
Okay, great. And that's beyond blindness, correct? For visual impairs.
Yeah.
Hi, I have a question about the W-3.
Sure.
If anybody knows, does it apply to applications, like apps, I mean, like on phones and tablets? Because I've been finding some things that are a little, I'll say, not as accessible, and I don't know if it applies to apps, if anybody knows.
Yeah, so W-3 really doesn't have... W3 and WCAG really doesn't. So WCAG, I think it's 3.0 that's going to be coming out, but I don't think it's going to be coming out for like a year or two. In its rough draft, they're beginning to look at mobile apps mm-hmm. and platforms and things like that. But beyond for W3, it's just web-based, and it's just more of like what's like how websites kind of you can interact with websites versus just applications you can find on your phone. My best advice for if you're running into an app on your phone that's not as accessible as it probably could be is honestly, I would go to that app and you can actually report it through your app store and you can actually connect to the developer. And I would report mm-hmm. the issue to the developer or to that company that has the app and kind of state your case and kind of what works, what doesn't, and what the expected behavior should be. And yeah, I think it'd be a great conversation for them.
Lots of times we tend to think that information has already been shared. And based on my experience, you're probably going to be the first person to share it with developers. So definitely do that.
Agreed. That's kind of what I'm afraid of.
Megan, when you approach the topic, I think it's super important to kind of talk about that. Accessibility is often new to a lot of people, which I think kind of is crazy for us to all sit here and think as we kind of tackle something new as well. But just keep in mind that accessibility is new, and so it's baby steps. But, you know, any progress and all progress is great progress. So I think a lot of it is education, but also kind of, you know, it's kind of taking it one step at a time and taking the respectful advocacy road.
Thanks, fortunate Jessica. Situation where you are, Megan, is that someone's coming to you, it seems like at a corporate level, asking you to do this initiative. There are lots of times where, frankly, lower level people, very grassroots, have to try and make the case that there should be something like a focus on accessibility at a company. And it's better when those requests come from the top. So,
so Andy, that's true. It's a little backwards because it's a D&I initiative, disability and inclusion.
Yep.
Initiative and first round. So I can out and hey, I'm here. But a lot of people do not know that I'm officially impaired yet because we've been working from home since, you know, the last year and all of that. So it's also me coming out, but it's also, yeah, so crazy.
Yeah, no, I understand where you are there, and I'm happy to continue this conversation with you as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys.
And I know we're at the top of the hour, so I will, before long, I will turn the recording off and we can continue this conversation with others, and you can ask questions that you'd like, not on the recording. But before I do that, I'd like to remind everyone of our next call, which in this case, next month will be April 7th. Same time, same phone number, same everything, April 7th. Any last questions or comments that people want before I turn the recording off? I don't want to do that prematurely, but I like to do it near the top of the hour so folks can ask those other questions if they need to leave.
This is Ed Nelson. My wife and I, we actually probably have we have a whole bunch of questions, but, basically we're just finding out about LHON, through our 15-year-old son. And so we're trying to, get to, you know, groups of, you know, for parents. And then kind of to piggyback off of the conversation you guys were just having about technology. You know, we're trying to, you know, keep, you know, my son involved in things he was doing and, looking for things like the best phone.
Yeah.
So those sorts of things. So any recommendations, I guess, for really anything?
Sure. I don't mean to cut you off, but I really, first of all, thank you so much for speaking up, Ed, and thank you for being here. And I want you to know that, like, we're here for you. That's why this group exists, for folks going through what you're going through right now. And we're sorry that you're going through it, but there are countless people listening right now who have been through or are going through what you're going through. And the best part about this group, and I'll tell you from my own experience, is that you don't have to go through this as if you're the first and only person who's ever done it. There is countless information out there. I don't know if you're in the Facebook group, Ed, but I recommend joining that. And even if that means downloading Facebook, you can then search within our Facebook group for different words like phone, like Apple, like sports, like technology, and different questions will come up related to that. This group's existed for close to a decade or so. Yeah. And you can find information there. The other thing we can do is kind of connect you with individuals. I'm happy to be one of those people to kind of give you that checklist of things to keep in mind. I'm happy to answer any of your questions. Specifically, the one you asked was best type of phone. Most people here would say a version of an iPhone because they have a lot of built-in accessibility features native to them that you don't have to add on top of them. And again, even if you have that iPhone, there's a lot to learn about how to do it. You can find that from YouTube videos from the Hadley School on how to use things like VoiceOver and Zoom and those types of things. But we want to give you that information as quick as we can and in the way that is easiest for you and your son and your wife. So thanks for being here and thanks for speaking up. And I know that was a lot, but we can also connect you with folks to have conversations offline if you prefer as well.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. It's the whole diagnosis to where we are now stage has been, it's all real new. It's all been less than 2 months. So,
yeah.
So my son has gone from sometime in November saying, I think I need glasses to legally blind on like Christmas Eve. And then now we don't, you know, we don't know exactly, you know, where we're at on the whole, you know, journey here. But it's, you know, it's been very, very rapid, very progressive. So yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Alyssa.
Yep.
It's Megan. Yep. I would be happy to connect Mike with my New Jersey associate with the Commission for the Blind.
Yeah. We're actually working with Ryan Vella from the Commission for the Blind. So, but yeah, we'll take any other additional, you know, guidance.
The only other resource I didn't name here, if you haven't been to LHON.org, there are several resources there, and including videos from prior conferences. If you were here at the beginning, you heard me mention the conferences that Jessica and I met at years ago now. Typically, those are every year in June. They don't always happen when we're in the middle of a pandemic, but you can find videos of prior conferences there where people are sharing stories. And while they aren't necessarily giving advice, they will share similar stories to what you're going through. And I could see where some of that would be helpful in addition to giving you advice on technology and education and all of those types of things as you continue to navigate this.
Thank you.
Hey, Ed, one more thing. This is Jessica. And kind of immediate is there's a dad's call actually coming up, and the two dads that run that call are amazing. So I cannot rave enough great things about them. They've been around the block. They've got really good resources. They're actually both East Coast. Both East Coast.
I think so.
So
yeah.
That might be a great call for you to jump on as well. And then I actually know the moderators/leaders of the team call that's next Tuesday. So I think that would be also fantastic if your son's kind of willing or wants to like just listen in to other people his age too.
Actually, no, I think their son was the right age for last night's call.
Yeah.
But I heard that last night's funny how I know these things. But I heard that last night's call was phenomenal. The teens seemed to enjoy it a lot. And it sounds like they're going to do it again, whether they do it in a month or 2 months, I'm not sure, but there will be another team call. So that's another option. It will come around. And then on the dad's thing, Ed, too. The dad's call, like she's saying, is coming up, on the 17th. But if you would want to chat with either of the dads separately, I'm sure they'd be more than happy to speak with you. I think the adult son of one of the dads is on the call, and he turned out great, and they all did. So so if you want to make that contact, you can do that too.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from folks? We'll turn the recording off shortly. Well, I will go ahead and turn the recording off. You all don't have to feel like you need to go. I want to give folks an opportunity to ask questions if they wanted them not being recorded. So it's a little past, and I'll turn the recording off. Thanks again. As always, if you want to reach Jessica or me, you can do that on Facebook. My name is Andy Marks. My name is Jessica Loomer. Or you can email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. We're happy to take your feedback, and we'll look forward to chatting with you on April 7th. All right, we're recording.